Oh, look at that. Look at that. Where did you get that?
That's a peacock.
I know it's a peacock.
Farming has undergone many revolutions over the decades. Today, farms are mechanicalised, focused on one enterprise or another, using modern technology and science to improve productivity and profitability. But a lot of this is alien to Martin Mullen.
He's 4 years old now.
4 years old.
What does he bring to the party?
A lot of damn noise, you know, this time of year, because in the morning, that boy could start up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
He is what you would describe as a traditionalist, preferring to use his Clydesdales rather than a tractor, preferring to spread manure rather than slurry. He's a man of the soil who believes that modern day farming has been harmful to the environment, to wildlife. For his part, he wants to leave the land the way he found it.
Like, you had partridge, you had grouse, you had pheasant. They're all gone.
Why are they all gone?
Yeah. I'll tell you, it wasn't the old way of farming that done away with them.
But then I knew I was in trouble when he held out his hand and he said, put that cigarette into my hand. And I thought, I'll burn him if I do that. And then I noticed the cigarette was out and he put it into his pocket. I then realised this guy is covering his DNA and that he knows what he's doing. He's done it before. I really need to make an effort to escape here. I'm not going to talk him out of it. So I asked, could I go to the toilet? And he said yes. And he walked ahead of me. And we got into the corridor. I knew that that kitchen door was open. And I thought, if I go back down into that bedroom, I mightn't come out of it. And I went to run. And he turned around and he broke my jaw.
He struck you?
He literally swung around and with the impact of his fist on my jaw, he broke it. And I knew it was broken because I could actually feel the click and the pain was absolutely horrific. I've given birth to 4 children and I've never experienced pain like that before in my life. He then, I still tried to run away, but he grabbed me by my hair and threw me to the ground. And I was fighting, because I knew if I went down that corridor, I wasn't going to come back out of it alive. He eventually got me into the bedroom. And yes, he raped me and he raped me repeatedly. At one stage, I tried to lean over because the photograph of my children was on the bedside locker to turn the photograph down. I know it sounds strange, but I felt they were in the room with me and they were looking. I felt their presence in the room and I felt humiliated and I felt disgusted. I tried to turn that photograph down and he said, don't bother, you'll never see them again.
Famously, it turns brilliant colours like that when autumn comes. Beautiful. And that's what I wrote about in my poem, saying that I'm going to live till autumn to see that. And many of the people who read the poem assumed that when autumn did come and I'd seen that, I would drop dead. So it's a bit embarrassing. And what I've got to do now is stop writing poems where I say I'm going to die tomorrow. Because what if I don't? Do you see the problem? Pretty true, isn't it?
It is pretty true. Well, then you can just see multiple autumns.
On the poem, the poem went viral. Yes, I think it was the first poem that ever did. It was in the New Yorker. And then it was suddenly on Tweet and Twitter. And an example of what we're talking about is a lot of people tweeted and twittered about how wonderful they thought the poem was. And one of them was Mia Farrow. And that was when I realised that Mia Farrow was a great actress after all. You see the bird feeder there? My wife gave me that. I'm still waiting for the birds to turn up. Birds do a lot of tweeting and twittering, as you've heard.
They do.
And I think the word gets out that there's a free food supply. But they take a while before they actually show up in strength. Can we sit down again?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. They're possibly too dazzled by the Japanese maple. They don't want to disturb it.
That's a good idea. Might be true.
Clive, having looked at the beautiful tree out your window there, perhaps you'd read Japanese maple for us.
I'd be delighted. Although we've got to remember that this amounts to yet more publicity for this little maple tree. And it's getting too much publicity now. Its personality's changing. It thinks it's Lindsay Lohan. Japanese maple. Your death, near now, is of an easy sort. So slow a fading out brings no real.
Oh, Order!
Order! Hello,
Deputy Wallace!
Conchorla, I want to ask the Taoiseach in a rough manner that only appeals to fellas who drive white vans about that controversy so complicated and outdated that no one remembers it except for a few broken journalists and TDs.
Order! Order! I will now shout in a high-pitched voice that emphasises my authority. Taoiseach!
Conchorla, let me begin by dropping my voice to a quiet level that purports to care deeply about what the deputy is saying, while simultaneously treating him like a tramp who's just walked into a coffee shop.
Conchorla, I will now shout and wave a piece of paper in a desperate attempt to stand for something, anything, because we're lost as a party going forward.
Smart ass comment from a Labour TD half-cut since lunchtime about how Fianna Fáil wrecked the country.
Fianna Fáil gobshite laughs about how Labour will be wiped out in the next election.
Loud shouting to remind everyone that I'm somehow in charge of the House.
Conchorla, I want to be thrown out so I can get as much publicity as possible.
Conchorla, let me now deflect attention from all questions.
It is a big day for you, as you say. I've had a look through your document. It's about 40 pages long. And you have brief mentions and a commitment to reform, but you haven't revealed any commitments in, you know, key areas, health and education. These are things that concern voters. They're not there right now.
Yeah, no, there's lots of areas that haven't or that have been included in this party. We want to renew Ireland, obviously, for the better. We want to ensure that there's opportunity, compassion and solidarity for people.
What we learned about Renewa, I suppose, at the launch today, when you look at that document as well, is that you were focusing on tax cuts for the self-employed, you know, controlling the public sector and the workings of politics. Does that tell me something about the type of party you're going to be?
Well, the party is going to ensure, obviously, that what promises are
the policy document which you've released today. You make some promises, and stay with taxation, perhaps, Terence. There are plenty of tax cuts promised to the self-employed particularly. What about the PAYE worker who has suffered hugely since 2008 when this economy collapsed? What are you in favour of doing for PAYE workers?
For the PAYE workers?
Terence, I think we'll leave it there for now, and perhaps we'll talk to you about the party on another day. That's Terence Flanagan there, the Renewa TD for Dublin North East.
Usually starts with a small rattle or rumble and then it builds up to a mighty crescendo. It's about 3:30 a.m. so this is the peak snoring time. Usually I just lie awake here for hours listening to the free snoring show. So I just thought I'd record it so he does know, but I'm not making it up. It's pretty bad tonight, actually. Sound that the RTE listeners don't get to hear, so maybe I'll send a clip into the show, and maybe the producers will surprise Jana and play it some morning.
I suppose you've guessed by now that the offending snoring there is being delivered by yours truly, with great running commentary provided by my light-sleeping, long-suffering wife Miriam. 35% of us snore occasionally, with at least 10% of us taking the noisy approach to sleeping pretty much every night. Men of middle age and upwards are likely to be the worst culprits, but women are not without blame either. And regardless of gender, drinking alcohol is guaranteed to make the problem worse. John Bell O'Reilly has been finding out about the fallout of being a snorer or having a snoring partner.
I snore, I'm told.
Told by?
My partner.
I always kind of thought that I'd be alone. For whatever reason, I was kind of happy with that. And it's only in the last year or two that I've sort of rethought that and made time for relationships and other people.
And what kind of a relationship would you be looking for?
Well, you know, I'm a very private person, and I still am, and I keep my private life to myself, and that's going to continue. And I always think that that friends and family are off bounds. I went into politics, they didn't. I am a gay man. It's not a secret, but not something that everyone would necessarily know, but isn't something I've spoken publicly about before.
I think, I mean, maybe within your own close friends and I suppose some people in the media, but I don't think most people would know that you are a gay man.
I think a lot of people do. A lot of people wonder and then a lot of people don't. It's not something that defines me. I'm not a half Indian politician or a doctor politician or a gay politician for that matter. It's just part of who I am. It doesn't define me, but it is part of my character, I suppose.
As you say, you're quite a private person, though. So why have you decided to talk about it? Why do you feel it's important to say publicly that you are a gay man?
Well, in part personal reasons, because
we had every second turn. We didn't kill ourselves doing it. We took our time. But the mud was, it was easy to get up because it was soft after burying him the day before. Do you understand me? So it was no bother bring him up like we had him up. In one half an hour, we all took our turn. As simple as that. And that's the way it was. And then it was such a mess then down top. It was all water and all. You know, it was soft. And it was a lot of old water in it, which made it worse if it was dry itself, if the earth was dry itself, but it was all a mess. With the coffin out, yeah, you couldn't believe the state he was in. And his eyes, two big eyes, and the cap turned that way, and the yellow mud and the water running out of his eyes then, and that wide open like mine and yours. It was sad, like. And we took him up here then, and cleaned him here at the back of the church. At the back of the church, here, waiting cleaned. It was all wet and cleaned in 120 minutes because we wanted to do it fast and put on a proper habit in him and dressed him up properly, the crater. We weren't the better of it. We weren't really in the better of it. But we done everything in here so fast. We didn't want no one to know nothing. No, you just do the job and put him down properly. Like, I never seen anything like it.
You know, and at the moment he's gone as far as to write on, like, local businesses' pages, yeah, and things like that, you know.
Pretending to be you?
Pretending to be me, yeah. A whole profile set up with my name, my details, my pictures, the whole lot. And just offering, you know, services, I suppose. Mm.
And calling you names, a pretty vile name.
Yeah, really, really vile names, yeah.
Okay, what can you do about Facebook?
I don't know. I have constantly, I report the pages. Every single morning I report pages, maybe up to 3 or 4 pages, some for me, some for my friends, some even for my daughter at this stage. And Facebook take them down, and the next day there's the same amount again.
And when you say report, who do you report them to?
You report them to, you can report them to Facebook through a, like a little kind of a, an icon, I suppose, in the corner of the screen.
Yeah.
And but, you report them for impersonation.
And would you not be inclined, I know you shouldn't have to, Anne-Marie, but would you not be just inclined to shut down Facebook out of your life?
Yeah, well, I have thought about it before and I've tried it before, but at the same time, if I shut down Facebook, then what's to stop him making 30 of me and making, you know, I'm already pretty pretty well known, I think, across Wexford now at this stage because of it, for the wrong reasons, obviously.
Just a mile or two down the road, an airstrike. This was the war's front line, where Kurdish defenders were trying to keep ISIS at bay in the town of Kobani. One evening, we managed to contact one of the Kurdish fighters inside Kobani, and amid sounds of battle, he told me what was happening.
That is war. They used a weapon there inside.
There was a lot of shooting just an hour ago.
ISIS attacked them and they want to take many places for the leaders and for the brigades inside.
We do that in politics, Anya. And,
so you're an equal opportunities reference writer, but did you write about his looks, for instance, in that reference?
Well, you know, Anya, on the looks, that was a light-hearted, unnecessary comment that I made. But I have to say, since you people in the media, since you're so politically correct, I have to say to you, Anya, that I've never had a situation where a woman took exception to a compliment on her appearance, on her nice dress or on a nice pair of shoes or hairstyle. And, you know, politicians, are you telling me that a politician is not allowed to make a compliment? I just
Michael, is there not a big difference between a private compliment and a sexist comment in a reference for a state job?
It wasn't meant to be a sexist comment.
But what have her looks got to do with her capability for a state board?
I've already said to you that her capabilities are well proven. Her CV speaks for herself. Her contribution to the board speaks for herself. And I've already said it was a light-hearted comment and it was an unnecessary comment. And you know,
It's all a bit Father Ted, isn't it, Michael Lowry?
Well, I suppose if you want to take on your fellow journalists and say, I read last week 3 pages of articles in relation to the media commenting on how elegant and striking Christine Lagarde was. I've read the media commentary in relation to how good-looking and glamorous the Italian Euro Commissioner was.
And so do you think Christine Lagarde, Michael Lowry, if you were passing her a note recommending somebody for a job, do you think Christine Lagarde would appreciate it if you said, added on, and not bad-looking either? Do you think that would impress Christine Lagarde?
I say, Anya, the first thing Christine Lagarde would do, the same as the Taoiseach would do and the same as the Minister for Transport would do, is look at the qualifications of the individual that you were making the reference for. And if they were suitably and deemed to be suitable applicant, then they get consideration. I simply looked for consideration for somebody who was already on the board to be reappointed on the basis of the past contribution. So that was all.
1 minute of additional time. 70 minutes, 31 seconds gone. Distance to goal is 97 metres. It's inside the Tipperary half of the field. This to win the All-Ireland. Are we going to have a draw for the third year in a row? Between 1959 and 2012, we had no draws. Now it's becoming almost regular. But is it going to be a draw?
It must be 80 yards out. I'm looking at the flags, Marty. There isn't a puff of wind here, so there's no wind to help him.
Here's
John
O'Dwyer.
It's a huge strike.
Inside his own half of the field. He has it. Has he? Oh. No, he hasn't. Oh. The ball is wide. Oh, and John Bubbles O'Dwyer was complete.
It's not. The umpire's calling again for Hawkeye. The same umpire. This is the third time today.
Now what's going to happen is we're going to Hawkeye. Is Hawkeye going to decide the 2014 All-Ireland final? John Bubbles O'Dwyer was adamant it was over the bar. We all look at the big screen. Here comes the decision. The ball is to the right and wide. Surely we have a draw. 71 minutes, 31 seconds. The drama If you're a script writer, well, whoever wrote the script for the 2014 All-Ireland, well, God bless you, because you're giving us a game that we will never forget. And ladies and gentlemen, from Ireland, from all over the world, the full-time whistle is blown, and it is another draw in the All-Ireland hurling final.
Yeah, Marty, incredible stuff. It's like you're talking inches there.
It's very hard to figure out what exactly it's all about, you know.
So you don't know yet?
I do know. I do. I think that everybody should be equal.
Right.
You know, I genuinely think everybody should be equal. And I can't see what the yes vote is going to do against anybody.
I suppose the no side would
say...
You
know, I don't know. But yeah. That's my thinking on it, you know.
Mm. They say it's redefining marriage.
And anyway, I don't, you know... Well, I suppose you can't say that you shouldn't have referendums, you know.
Well, they didn't in England. They just brought in a new law, introduced it to Parliament.
Is it going to cost a huge amount of money to, you know, do this that could be used in another way?
I suppose they're saying everybody, well, the no side are saying everybody needs a father and a mother.
Well, you know, I was brought up without a father. Do you know, my father died long before I could know the benefit of a father. And it was just my mother brought me up. So I can only speak for myself, you know. It's certainly, you know, you can't, I can't, it's very difficult.
It is difficult.
But
yes.
I just feel that, you know, we're discriminating against a lot of people who they feel their lives would be better. I can't see anything on the other side that will be detrimental. All of the people that know what they're talking about, you know, family agencies and family organisations are telling us that it's absolutely no difference who brings up the children as long as they're brought up in a stable, loving environment.
Bass bins booming behind closed doors. The steep, stained stairway, mere steps away, and up, 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 through the black swing doors. A wave of heat, a deep, deep house beat opening wide into the black light, the black box. Georgia's teeth shine light blue, she's beaming.
You made it, little man.
Larry pulling his hood down, raising his mask to his forehead. Danny Jr.
Larry, stay close and keep discreet, yeah?
The trio wander, hand in hand, swimming through the shore. It's early, so the place is still filling up. Larry shaking hands, hugging complete strangers, following the factory line up the stairs to the cloakroom, handing his coat to the others and breaking off to the jacks to the left.
The filthier the jacks, the better the club, right? The rats aren't even infesting. They've given it 2 stars.
James Morrissey, how much of what Catherine Murphy said in the Dáil was correct and how much of it was incorrect? Did she say something that was true?
She said most of what she said was untrue.
But not all of it?
Not all of it.
And some what she said that was true, you would have no difficulty with her putting that on the record?
Whatever she said is true, she can say whatever she likes.
And you'd have no problem
the
with that.
The most important thing, though, here, and it comes back to, you see, Micheál Martin uses the word powerful. I would have thought that all citizens rank equally, but he obviously doesn't think so. I think the key issue here is when information is leaked and it's when it's interfered with and when fundamental facts are changed.
That's the second time you said that. What do you mean by altered, changed? Who changed it and in what way?
I don't know who changed it, but Catherine Murphy has presented as facts figures that are not correct, and she has made statements that are fundamentally wrong.
And are you saying that a document that in its original form was correct in every way, but that it was altered in such a way as to make it untrue?
I don't know what documents she has, but I am satisfied.
How can you say they were altered then?
I'm telling you that I'm satisfied that documents that she presents as being facts contain erroneous figures and numbers that simply...
No. You said that they were altered. How do you know they were altered if you don't know what documents she has?
Well, I'm aware of the original documentation. I've seen what she has misrepresented.
Well, the bottom line then is deal with it.
Why not deal with it? Isn't that a good point? If there is a difficulty here that some of the information is correct and some is not, why not come out and issue a full statement clarifying what's true and what's not, James Morrissey.
You see, I think what Micheál Martin is doing here is he...
No, could you answer my question rather than address Micheál Martin? If there is a difficulty here and some information is correct and some is incorrect, why not, why wouldn't your side come out and clarify it by putting the truth into the public domain?
For one particular reason that Micheál Martin chooses to ignore, and that is the rights of a citizen in this country to privacy in his financial matters.
But the bottom line here is this is about the IBRC.
Sound the whistle, the flirt-off has begun.
The boys watch the girls while the girls watch the boys who watch the girls go by.
Okay, Sean, we're walking up to the fountain now.
Here we go.
My name's Cullen, what's your name?
Jurgita, from Lithuania.
Do you come here often to this fountain?
No.
This is the first time we've been at this fountain, and this is the first time we've actually gone flirting at this fountain. It's a bit of a cosmic connection going on here. I think the universe has guided you to this position. Can I ask you, what do you do?
What do I do? I actually work in the bar.
Oh, which bar?
What's the address? Exactly the address. What's your shift hour?
It's just around the corner.
What's your favourite drink to get?
Usually I go straight for cognac.
That's such a coincidence. My favourite drink too.
Is it really? What's your favourite cognac?
The harder kind, you know, the really strong kind.
So you're up to a good night usually when you're out for...
Go hard or go home, you know what they say?
Yeah, true, yes.
Do they say that in Lithuania?
No, they don't.
Well, they should. We've been flirting with you for the last few minutes. We both would like your phone number. We won't take it personally. Well, I probably will, but...
Here we go.
Yeah, there's no way to take rejection personally.
But you do talk a lot, so I like that in guys. And I like when guys makes me laugh, so...
So I get your number?
Yeah.
Yes! 1-0, Sean.
The stakes have been raised. You're going to pay next time.
Let's talk now to Kevin Humphreys, the Labour Party junior minister, who's on the line, I think, from Account Centre. Kevin Humphreys, good morning to you.
Good morning to you from the RDS and the Dublin Southeast Counts.
Right. And what are you seeing there?
Well, I'm seeing pretty much what I see is a landslide in Dublin South East. So just after looking at a partial box tallied, and it was 120 votes for yes and 20 votes for no. So that's kind of an indication pretty much across Dublin South East.
And at the moment, you're just looking at Dublin South East?
It is indeed, but I've looked at four or five boxes, which I predicted nationally on a number of occasions, and they've been a very good weather fame. So I would be happy to predict at this stage confidently that it's going to be an overwhelming yes vote.
And that's from your experience down the years, looking at those particular Dublin South East boxes and judging basically how the rest of the country falls in or falls out as far as they're concerned.
It is indeed. We've four boxes we've used on a regular basis here in Dublin South East, and hopefully they have never been wrong so far, and hopefully they're not going to be wrong today. But it's a very, very strong trend for a yes vote.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the line with that. Kevin Humphreys there of the Labour Party. And as we were saying a few minutes ago, he was one of the first to call it on the Shannon referendum the last time. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of hours. 24 minutes past nine.
Also joining us in studio, fellow Labour TD John Lyons from Dublin.
It's this extraordinary ability to mimic which bonds the starling with its owner.
So I think I'll just play them a piece of music. Now, they really like this one. This is Beethoven Pathétique, so there's a particular movement within it that they love in the sonata. So let's see what you think. Are you ready, guys? So you'll see when I start, the first few bars, they'll usually be listening. And then when you get a couple of lines into the piece, then they really start to join in, especially when it goes up more into the treble a little bit. That's what they particularly like. And they seem to like, I've noticed, when you get, because this is a tune in D flat major, now they seem to quite like that key, but then they like it when you start to put naturals in, which just means you're slightly changing the pitch of the music. And there's something about those little bars that will trigger them, I think. And that's when they tend to sort of come in and join in.
Thank you.